Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I get in, shut the door. Dude immediately makes a wrong turn out of the parking lot, and I am on his ass. I'm like, No, we know where we're going. We know where we're going. And he starts stuttering. He gets nervous. He's like, I know a shortcut. Don't worry. I'm going to get you there in a jiffy. And I said, Jiffy? Nobody says jiffy anymore. This son of a bitch is going to kill us. Listen, that's right where my mind goes. All right, you can judge me all you want to, but I live my life like every gun is loaded. Okay? Every snake is a king cobra. And no matter what touches me in the ocean, it's jaws. Okay? I know I've had seaweed hit me in the leg and I'm like, ah! You ever try to walk something off in the ocean? You can't look cool doing that. You can't.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pass Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for your support. This channel has grown, the community has grown, the special continues to do well. Please go watch and support my special, Lefty Son, on my YouTube channel. And while you're there, subscribe to that channel, all right? And if you got to have more, then you got to check out the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all, and it's The Honeydew with Y'all. And like I say every week, the wildest motherfucking stories on the internet. I don't care what else you got out there. It's $5 a month. You're getting The Honeydew ad free. You're getting it a day early. You're getting it audio and video. All right. At no additional cost. It's $5. And you still have hundreds of episodes to go and listen to. So go check it out. It's definitely worth your time. And if you're looking for a new podcast, go check out an old favorite called The Crab Feast. It's an audio only one. Subscribe. It's a great storytelling podcast I used to do with Jay Larson. And the tour's starting, guys. I'm starting to feel better enough to get out there. They tell me my D-dimer levels look like they're in the right zones to travel. So May 26th and 27th, the live and the live tour kicks off in Fort Wayne, Indiana. June 23rd and 24th, I'll be in Tacoma, Washington. July 7th and 8th, Appleton, Wisconsin. We did have to reschedule Tulsa, Oklahoma, July 21st and 22nd because the club's not going to be ready yet. Not because of your boy. Your boy's kind of ready. I was going to say I stay ready, but I'm kind of ready. All right. Now, y'all know what we do over here. By the way, dates are continuing to be added. All tickets available at RyanSickler.com. That's the biz. You know what we're doing over here. We're highlighting the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. Very excited to have this guest on here today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dave Stone. Welcome to the Honeydew, Dave.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, man. Thank you for being here. And before we get into your story today, why don't you plug and promote everything Dave Stone?
Sure. Got a new special out now on YouTube called Pack a Lunch. So you can go watch that right now. Also, you can get the audio version on vinyl at blondemedicine.com.
That's who I'm. Album's with.
Yeah, great folks.
Dominic Del Bene, great
shout
folks
out,
at Blonde Medicine.
Shout out to Dominic and Jessica. Yeah. Great folks over there. So yeah, limited edition vinyl. It's a big fat 2 LP. I'm a vinyl guy, so I like the colored vinyl. So mm-hmm. We got like a nice colored variant. 2 LP. Limited edition. They're moving quick, so get over there at blondemedicine.com. and grab those. And then two podcasts. I do The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane, up and coming young lad. I think he's going to do all right.
Great episode on Honeydew. Check out Kyle Kinane's
episode. That was so funny. Boogie Monster. And then I do another podcast called The Stonebergs with my wife, where a really disheveled married couple tries to give advice to people in
need. Right.
So, yeah, two idiots that can barely handle our own business are trying to lend our advice to the masses. So that's where you can find me.
All right. Well, I know we have a specific story to talk about today, but let's lead up into that. So you're originally from Georgia, correct?
Yep, Georgia.
All right. You grow up there. Mm-hmm. And what do you get into work-wise as soon as you're out of school? Are you going to college first? What is Dave Stone doing?
Yeah, I went to college, walked on at West Georgia University football.
Did you?
Yeah.
What position?
Linebacker, the old linebacker / kicker combo. That old combo.
Yeah, that Lawrence Taylor guy.
Yeah, exactly.
The LT hybrid.
This guy's a good kicker. Maybe we could put him at weak linebacker. Just did that for a couple of months till I hurt my knee, and then knew that I was going to miss like the whole season.
Limped off.
Yeah. So, and then just went to like a community college for like another couple of semesters. Just no idea what I wanted to do. Dropped out of that and went to broadcasting school. So my first like career job, I was a radio DJ in Atlanta for about 4 years.
What radio station?
A bunch of them. But the big one, it was the one that I grew up listening to. So cool in Atlanta. 99X, WNNX. It was like the K-Rock of Atlanta, you know, modern rock or alt rock, whatever you want to call it. But so I was doing that. And at the same time, bouncing around at other radio stations. Like, it was such a nomadic profession. I literally moved 8 times in 4 years. And then my final radio job, I got let go because it was right around the turn of the century. That sounds weird to say. Mm-hmm. But when everything was becoming automated and there was a lot of consolidation and just like half our station got laid off. And that's what led to my other career that we'll talk about later. But radio, did some odds and ends. Some people find this interesting. I was actually a tour manager for a couple of metal bands.
Were you really?
Chris Jericho's band, Fozzy. They're still around.
Are they?
They're still out there doing it, playing good-sized venues. But yeah, I was Fozzy and Stuck Mojo's tour manager for a couple of years. Stuck Mojo's one of these old like rap metal pioneers, early 90s. So yeah, it was the same
like before
core
Anthrax and shit.
About the same time, yeah. So it was the same core group of dudes. They had Stuck Mojo, the same core, and then Fozzy was basically the same band, but add Jericho on vocals. So that was cool. And I grew up a wrestling guy. I'm not a wrestling guy anymore. I mean, I appreciate that 40-year-old men are obsessed with it, but I grew out of it. But it was still cool, like working with Jericho, and that was like kind of the peak of his fame. So we got to go do some of those wrestling shows. Monday Night Raw went up there and the band performed live and got to meet Stone Cold and The Rock before he was just a mega star. But so a little bit of everything.
So then you're bouncing around doing this and that. Then how do you get into your career in law enforcement?
Yeah. I was just a cop. I was just a uniform beat cop.
What made you decide to do that?
I just needed a job. Like when radio ended, I was just kind of bouncing around doing part-time jobs. And during that time, I got engaged way too young. And I'm 23. I'm engaged. I'm done with my radio career. I got no education to fall back on. I was like, I just needed health insurance and a 401k. And a buddy of mine had already worked for this police department. He's like, hey, we're hiring next year, man. You need to apply. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be a cop. And one thing led to another.
How old are you at that point?
I started when I was 23. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So.
And were you always a guy that you could pass a piss test and all that stuff? Or did you also have to go clean and sober to become a cop?
No, back then I was straight edge. Like I wasn't like straight edge, but I didn't drink. I didn't smoke
so
weed.
So that wasn't the problem.
That wasn't an issue.
Okay. You know, so what is it like? Are you an Atlanta like PD or what are you, a Georgia trooper?
Yeah.
Like what the hell are you?
I was Cobb County police and Cobb County. Is most of Atlanta is in Fulton County, but the county just north of there, which I think technically some of Atlanta seeps into, was Cobb County. So county police Big department. I think we had like close to 1,000 officers. You know, just North Metro Atlanta was our whole area. So yeah, just went to the academy. That was about 8 or 9 months, and then
wait, it's that long?
Yeah, yeah. It was quite a.
That's longer than boot camp, then, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boot camp's
like what, a couple months?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, this was I think 8 months.
And what are you learning?
Just it was classroom setting Monday through Friday. I'm tempted to do my jokes, but just they teach you the basics of law enforcement. Like half of it was like law school kind of. Mm-hmm. You know, they teach you the textbook stuff, and then the other half was more, you know, hands-on tactical stuff.
Now, how are you learning situations like we're seeing on fucking everybody's cell phone mm-hmm. from a classroom?
Like learning mistakes from real officers?
Or just, I mean, how do you teach a cop that's mm-hmm. under duress mm-hmm. that same feeling and shit in a classroom? You can't.
Well, they show you a lot of videos.
Oh, you do
every
see that
video of every cop who ever got his ass kicked. We're going to show you this video.
I have seen the one wrong. Where the guy got killed and they were saying what he did wrong. Yeah. And you can hear him screaming and shit.
Yeah, it's
terrifying.
And they really hammer that into your head. And
like they're showing you brothers and sisters that are dying because of mistakes they made.
Yeah.
That's part of the training.
Yeah. And the term for it, they call officer safety. Like they just hammered officer safety. And like, you know, I have, as we'll learn, I have mixed emotions about my time there. But I will say it was a good department in terms of like training. You know, it wasn't, you know, Mayberry.
Sure.
You know, some small. It was a big department, well-funded, a lot of resources, a lot of good training. So they really hammer officer safety.
So you get out of training. Mm-hmm. And what do you become then? What is your first job?
First job is just uniform patrol, basically.
And is that in a car? Or
yeah.
Do they still have on-foot patrol anymore?
I don't think so. Maybe some cities that have, you know, a real pedestrian-heavy, you know, city center might. But I don't think we had any on-foot cops. We had bicycle cops and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But basically, everybody starts out in what we call uniform patrol. And our whole department or territory was divided up into 5 different precincts. And then within each precinct, you have beats. But so they send you to one of the 5 precincts. And for another 8 months, you ride with an FTO, a field training officer. So it's like 8 or 9 months of schooling. Then you get out and then you just ride shotgun every night for about another 8 months.
So my fucking cousin, mm-hmm. this motherfucker lucked out. I mean, did he or didn't he? I think he did. But same thing. He gets out of, what is it called?
We call it mandate school.
Mandate school. And now he's riding with a partner mm-hmm. or whatever. And it is week one. Mm-hmm. It might be day 2. Mm-hmm. And they all of a sudden, they're in a high-speed chase.
Yeah.
And they're chasing this car. And some asshole cuts out in front of them. So his partner tries to go around him. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, he hits the median and the car flips. Mm. And they're rolling, and they're both okay. Car's upside down. My cousin's ankle's fucked. Ooh. And he's climbing out. And he said, Ryan, I was so fucked up and concussed and disoriented that he just said, they teach you also to cover your weapon. Mm-hmm. And that's all that kept going through his head was protect my fucking weapon so someone doesn't get it and use it against me.
Yep.
And he said he couldn't help it, but he said no one was asking him anything. And he just kept yelling, I am the police. I am the police. And he said no one was asking him. They were like, we know you are.
We assumed with the uniform.
You're in the car with the lights.
I am the police.
He said that's all he could yell.
I wish I'd have used that one.
He said, I am the police. Oh, I was laughing so hard. So they put rods and shit.
Ugh.
In his fucking ankle, and he gets married, and he's doing his little vows, and he cries, you know, and he's Mr. Italian-American, hard-ass, doesn't cry, but he cries. And I'm fucking with him a little bit. I'm like, oh, you're over there crying and uh-huh. shit, you motherfucker. We get to the reception, and there's this fucking step down that it is hard as shit to see.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
And he hits this motherfucking step down, and that ankle pops, and he goes down to the ground, and he's holding it. And he just looks up at me, and a tear comes down his face, and I just I couldn't help it. I had to kick him while he's down. I was like, hey, Timmy cried twice at his wedding, everybody. Look at this motherfucker.
It's okay. He is the police.
Yeah. I should have yelled
that. Yeah, I thought he was going to yell that. I am the police.
He cried twice, this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So he then gets, like, they give him an office job, mm-hmm. and now he's a liability on the streets because of what happened.
Yeah.
They fucking retire him after only a few years.
Really?
In his early 30s. And he gets a full pension and everything the rest of his life. Thanks. And they do programs where, like, if you move into a neighborhood, uh-huh. they'll give you a discount on the house because they want you to have, yeah. you know, a little presence in the neighborhood.
Absolutely.
You know, especially if you're a trooper that takes a car home.
Yeah,
take home car. That fucking cruiser sitting in the driveway is like, let's not go fuck with that guy's
yeah.
house, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a couple of those gigs where I got free rent at an apartment complex.
You did?
Yeah. in exchange for being the what do they call it? Courtesy officer. Mm-hmm. I was the courtesy officer. I'd handle noise complaints and stuff like that. Or if I was actually working in something, they'd call me and I'd just send somebody else over there. But yeah. Yeah. I think we call those part times. There's all kind of little part times
gotcha.
That you can do to supplement your income.
Okay.
So, yeah. But that was a sweet gig. Just working at just living free rent in a nice apartment complex.
Yeah.
And once a month I'd have to hand out notices or, you know, the occasional noise complaint. But yeah, it was pretty easy. Pretty good gig.
So then do you grow up through, come up through the ranks a bit or what?
Not really. I wasn't there long enough to really climb the ranks. I was there about 4 years, 4.5 years.
Okay.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
So yeah, and hated every second of it.
Did you?
Yeah, you know, at first, because like I said, it wasn't anything. I didn't grow up wanting to be a cop. You
sure.
know,
not in your family.
Yeah, it wasn't in my family. But you know, I still had obviously an interest in it in mm-hmm. terms of like, well, if I got to have a job, you know, at least I'm not sitting behind a desk. And you got to remember too, the climate wasn't what it is now. This was 22 years ago.
This is when everybody was getting away with
yeah.
what's going on
yeah.
now.
2001.
It was still happening.
Yeah.
Everybody just getting away with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, everybody having a cell phone
yeah. camera. Yeah.
But also just the general climate wasn't
yeah.
as,
no, it wasn't. Yeah.
you know, paranoid as it is now. Just because there's not that stuff didn't go on back then, but it just wasn't on the news every night like it is now. So, but yeah, my point is, you know, I thought, okay, well, I need a job. I need like a real job, something where mm-hmm. I can get some health benefits and stuff. So like for a guy who doesn't have a college degree, you know, this might be about the best I can do at this point in time
it's
in my life.
Government position.
23 years yeah. old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I went into it with a good attitude, but then it just sucks the life out of you quick. Because you just – I'm in a weird position now where I see both sides of it. You know, I'm definitely not pro police, but I'm, you know, I see both sides and I'm quick to, when I see a cop doing something wrong in the news, I'm like, yeah, fuck that guy. He should have known better. But also when some homeowners association president is screaming because a cop did something wrong, I'm like, well, you don't know exactly what their job entails. So mm-hmm. pump the brakes a little bit, but you just every night you see.
What's the craziest shit you saw in your 4 years?
Third day out on the street. I won't do the bit, but I had this in my – I close in my new special about it. Third night out of the academy, out on the street with an FTO, we find a – I found a decapitated head.
Come on, dude.
Just – yep, guy
– what do you mean you found it?
Guy, 19-year-old Georgia Tech student committed suicide by laying his head across some train tracks.
And you guys are just out there cruising around and you look over and see a head or you got a call?
We get a call that there's a mannequin on some train tracks.
Oh, no.
And we both were like, I think I literally even said, like, that's an odd reason to call the police. And we get there and not a mannequin, just a real human body with no head. And I found
the head. Was the head? How far away?
About 10 yards in a ditch.
Yards in a ditch.
Yeah.
It cut it off and rolled. His head rolled.
Yeah.
I wonder, don't you wonder? Don't you wonder if for like 10 seconds the brain is working enough where his head's bouncing, he's seeing that shit go around?
I mean,
and then the camera just
gotta
shuts
be
off.
A little bit. A
There's no
two,
way
right?
it's instant. There's no way it's instant if you're, I don't know.
The
I don't
inside
know,
joke,
I don't know a lot of anything.
The inside joke was how many trains came by before he actually went through with it. Oh, yeah. Another fun fact, zero blood.
They just cauterized.
It cauterized the wound.
Did it?
Yeah, because all the heat from the, what, they're not wheels, but yeah. What are the things a train, you know, the little circular metal, I guess they're
I mean, I would call
metal
them wheels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Fuck.
And I'm not going to do the whole bit, but in my bit, and it's all true, eventually my FTO hands me a trash bag.
No.
And says, quote, go get him, Stone.
No.
And I was like, do what? And then he got shitty about it. He's like, take this fucking bag, go get his head. I was like, oh, okay.
Day three. You picked up a human head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Day three.
Good times.
On the job. Listen, there's cops out there that have been on the force 30 years and can't tell you they done that.
Day two, the night before that.
Day two. We're
day
going
two,
backwards.
I stepped in a bucket of human shit.
Yeah, that that happens to us outside here at the studios.
Walking through a crack house and 5-gallon Home Depot paint bucket.
No.
And, yeah.
5-gallon. How do you step in a 5-gallon bucket?
It was dark. We were just kind of feeling around.
Do you high step in?
No. For that reason, because I knew I was going to step on something and just right.
No.
It's like, oh, that was squishy. Oh, that's feces.
Day two.
I love being a cop.
And day three is a head severed.
Yeah. It's, you see the worst
Any
of humanity.
Fights?
Oh, yeah. A lot of fights.
Tell me about some fights.
I fought a guy who was trying to take my gun. I fought a dude.
I'm not laughing. Yeah. I'm laughing. You're like, yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, in 4 years, probably 12 or 15, shit kickers.
That's every 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah, just a shit kicker.
That's quarterly.
Yeah. Because that's what people don't understand. Like, if you and I had an encounter with the police, like, it would be a big deal in our week or our month or in our year. But I'm fighting people that, I'm probably the third cop they fought this month. It's just like, this is what I do. I'm not afraid to fight a fucking cop. Send me to jail.
Yeah.
At least I don't have to pay rent.
Yeah,
like that was the mentality of some of these people. Like they just, there's nothing scarier than someone who has nothing to lose.
Amen.
And you're just dealing with people who have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what the fuck do I care?
Right.
You know? And it was such an eye-opener.
Tell me about some of the fights. You said a guy was trying to get your gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is the whole story that we're leading up to was just, it was a series of events that just left me so disgruntled. You know, it was just a disgruntled officer. I got in a fight one time with a dude, literally trying to steal my gun, not to pawn it, not to steal it and run into the woods. He's trying to take my gun so he could use it on me. He's fucking got his hands all over my
shoulder. And why? Would you catch up with him for?
He had a warrant. He's going to jail. It's when people know they're going
to
jail.
They're like, fuck that. No, I'm not.
And they're not. These guys know they're not going to jail for this charge. They're going to jail because they got a warrant from an old charge that is now going to give them 5 years, 10 years in prison, whatever it may be. And when you're dealing with people that are like, oh, if this cop puts both handcuffs on me, I'm going to jail for 10 years or whatever the case may be. And it was one of those situations where I was with another officer. One little technique, and they always get this wrong in the movies. If you're a perp and I'm a cop and I know I run your license, there's a warrant pops up, I don't tell you that you're under arrest until I have handcuffs on you. If I go, hey, turn around, you're under arrest.
See,
you're like, well, I could run or I could fight or whatever. You always, there's a technique to trick them. Like, hey, man, before we go any further, you mind if I pat you down just to make sure you don't have any bombs or bazookas on you? And usually they'll comply to that and you get them to turn around. Like, just put your hands behind your back and you pat them down. Click, click. You want to put those cuffs on them when they don't realize it's coming.
That's legal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So even if they're not under arrest, even if you just need to detain them for your own safety. But yeah, you act like you're just patting them down. Hey, turn around real quick. Boom, boom, click, click. But if I go, hey, man, you got a warrant. You're going to jail. You're like, no, I'm not. So anyway, in that scenario, my partner is the one that told him he was going to jail.
Mr. Trigger Happy over here?
No, it's another one.
Oh, okay.
But before we had handcuffs on it, and this guy just starts swinging, And it was literally two on
big dude.
Big dude, two on one. And he was, you know, we weren't winning. And he was trying to, he was trying to grab my gun. We weren't winning. And I, point is, I got one handcuff on him and we're still fighting. And I to this day, I don't remember if it was my partner or me because it was just such a melee. But he got his wrist broke. He had one handcuff on and his other wrist got broke. Mm. And I got in trouble for excessive use of force while a suspect is in custody because he had one handcuff on. And when you deal with stuff like this, I don't know how other departments do it, but we had like a civilian review board. And what that means is you have people from the, you know, an employee from the water department, an employee from the solicitor's office, an employee from the fire. It's a civilian. They're not technically civilians because they work for the county.
I see.
But it's a civilian review board. And I have to go and explain what happened to people who have never been in law enforcement.
Or in that scenario.
Yeah,
right
this
there.
Guy works for the water department, right, and he's judging how I did my job. Right, yeah. And I got suspended for excessive use of force because we broke a guy's wrist who was in handcuffs. And
who
I
was
kept,
also trying to get your gun to kill
exactly,
you.
Exactly. And I kept saying, handcuff, singular.
Yeah.
Singular. We had one on him. And he was trying to get my gun. And so it was a series of things like that that just led me to being like, fuck this job, fuck this department. And, you know, we can get into that later. But
yeah,
that
no, that's
up,
what I want to talk
that
about.
That led up
that
to
led
my-
led to
my,
what? Take us there.
My poor decision making.
Have you ever been just too damn high? We've all been there. With today's weed, finding your perfect dose can be a dangerous game. Dadgrass is reviving the pleasure of the casual toke so you can chill out without the stress. Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints and flower are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. Not looking to toke, Dadgrass also offers the finest tinctures and gummies on the market. All the mellow goodness, no smoke required. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. Right now, Dadgrass is offering my listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/honeydew. Go to dadgrass.com/honeydew for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew. What was poor decision making?
Well, like I said, this was a series of things like that. I got suspended another time for wrecking a car in a chase. And it's like, I'm chasing a guy. I wasn't on my way to work in a police car and just drag racing, you know, like just getting, and not that, like, of course there has to be checks and balances, but the whole problem, at least back then, they, like I said, in the academy, every day we watched a video of a cop getting killed, you know, officer safety, officer safety, officer safety. But also, you got to do every single fucking thing exactly right, or we're going to suspend you or fire you or sue you or whatever. So, you know, you ask these officers to go out and do something, you know, dangerous, but and I'm not defending corruption. Like, of course you get, but like, you're going to suspend me because I broke a dude's wrist who was only in one handcuff, a guy who was literally trying to kill me. Like I said, he didn't want my gun because he's a collector.
Right.
He wasn't going to go run and pawn it.
Clean
it. He's going to fucking kill me.
Yeah.
But yet I get suspended a week without pay because this guy got his wrist broke and he had one handcuff on. So it's just that mentality. Or like, my department was very stat driven. It was like, stats meaning, how many tickets you write tonight, mm-hmm. Stone? How many arrests did you make? It's like, oh, I didn't make any because I handled 14 911 calls. You know, I'm going to like dangerous 911 calls and my beat partner's writing speeding tickets. So I would go to dangerous calls with no backup.
Because why no backup?
Because we called it beat partners. Like I said, the precinct, the department was divided up into five precincts. I worked at zone 3. And then within that precinct, we had like 13 beats. Mm-hmm. And it just means little territories. You know, Dave handled 3111 handles this beat. 3112 handles that beat. And like, we didn't have partners in the car, but we had beat partners, meaning if I'm 3112 and you're 3111, well, if 3112 gets a call, then as soon as I, 10-4 en route, then my beat partner goes in code, will just say, show me en route to back him up. Almost any call, you'd have to go back somebody up because we don't know what it is.
Right.
You know?
I would hope.
And it's we're responsible for each other. Now, if someone, if my beat partner's writing a ticket and someone else is available, then they might be like, they'll give this guy a chance to hop in and go, I'm going to code seven was the phrase. But if no one is going to back me up, then someone else can hop on and go, hey, I'll go back him up. But if they're all busy and my beat partner's writing a fucking speeding ticket and I'm going to an armed robbery by myself. So, and then you get back to the precinct. They're like, why didn't you write any speeding tickets? I was like, and we had this thing called a daily. It's just you log everything. I'm like, look at my fucking daily. When was I supposed to write a speeding ticket? So it was a lot of that, like, where's your stats? Mm-hmm. You know, on paper, it looks like Officer Stone didn't do shit tonight because he had no tickets and no arrest. But I went to 13 different fucking calls. You know, like I have paperwork. I have reports on all these calls. But anyway, I'm elaborating on that. But it was just that mentality of like, do this, but also do this. And don't do that, but also do this. And why aren't you doing that?
And make sure you do it by the book.
Yeah. And it was a series of just disgruntled events. And you want me to just get to the good part? One day, you know, this, you know, I've told this story on The Boogie Monster. And, but yeah, and I was telling you off the air, like, I've been doing comedy 16 years. I've just now started talking about cop stuff. Just, I kept it a secret for all these years just because, A, the story I'm about to tell, but also just even if there was no negative stories, it's still like, oh, you're a cop, fuck this guy. And like, as you know, half of stand-up is winning over the audience or becoming likable. Long story short, been a cop 4.5 years. Probably been suspended 3 or 4 times without pay for things that I thought were unjust. I'm wrecking a car. I got suspended for wrecking a car because I was chasing a guy. The guy wouldn't pull over. But I wrecked, just shit like that. It's like, what? And then, you know, the people handing out the sentences are people that work at the water department. It's like, lady, do you have any fucking idea what I do? So anyway, I think I've made that point clear. I was very disgruntled. This is not a reflection of my character. But one day, pulled over this dude. He was a Latino guy. Like one of the cheapest tickets we had. He was like a tag light. That was the easiest probable cause. The little light that illuminates your license plate. Yep. Most everybody's have gone out.
Yeah.
And there's no way for you to know that unless like your buddy
pulls you over.
Yeah. Or your buddy checks it. Who does like a full inspection of all their lights, whatever. Anyway, easiest probable cause in the world. And I'd gotten a talking to because I'm not writing enough tickets. All right, I'm going to write a bunch of fucking tag light tickets. It's the cheapest ticket. Here you go, man. Sorry. It's $50, $60. Pulled over this one guy one night, Latino fella, no English. And he was trying to, you know, show him the ticket. You turn around on the back, you circle the phone number. Hey, call this number in 10 days. They'll tell you how much your fine is. Everybody's like, how much is it? That's the question everybody asked for the ticket. And we don't like keep up with it, but like we knew that like this is one of the cheapest tickets. At the time, it was like $50, $60. And I was explaining this guy, you know, no English, and he pulls out a $50 bill. He's like, I pay now? And he wasn't trying, I don't think he was trying to bribe me, but he was literally just like, can I just pay now? Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, no, man, call this phone number. They'll tell you where to mail the check, blah, blah, blah. I pay now. I pay now? No, you don't pay now. After about the fifth time, sure, man, you can pay now. And I took the $50. I didn't need the $50. It was a fuck you to the department. You know, it's like I'm trying to explain to this guy. I'm fresh off a suspension, very disgruntled. Sure, man. In the interest of putting this issue to bed and moving on with our days, yeah, you can pay now. And then I took his ticket back so he wouldn't like. And 6 months go by. And the story that was later told to me, this is how I got caught. That guy, whoever he was, his brother got a ticket, a similar ticket one night. And his brother was complaining like, I got a fucking ticket. And then the guy I dealt with was like, oh, you could just, why didn't you just pay the officer? And his brother's like, that's not how that works. And he goes, well, that's how it worked for me. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, I got pulled over. I gave the officer $50. And then his brother complained to the police department and they tracked, they figured out the location and the time and my physical description. And they called me in.
And you admitted it?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Just trying to do the right thing. You know, I was like, well.
I mean, I also want to ask you this. 6 months go by. This thing at this point probably, it's Had you even remembered it or thought about it?
I thought about it. I thought it because I knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
I knew that I wasn't.
But were you thinking about it like, boy, 6 months down the line, this could bite me in the ass? I mean, what a weird way for some shit to come back and get you.
Get this shit, okay? Unbeknownst to me, okay, once this guy filed the complaint and then they figured out it was me, they did an internal investigation. They had collaborated with the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. They thought I was a serial offender. They thought I was just out there every night targeting Latinos with broken English who may or may not even be here. They thought because apparently this had happened before. When it was all said and done and I'm in handcuffs talking to the internal affairs, they were just convinced.
Wait, hold on. You can't just jump in handcuffs. Hold on. Oh, yeah. They brought you in. Did you get to go home that night or that day you're going?
No, I got to go home that night.
So what happened? They ask you straight up, did you do this? And you say, yes, I did.
Well, and my point too with the investigation, get this though. They had undercover GBI officers tailing me during my whole shift. And
for how long?
And baiting me for a couple of weeks.
Baiting you?
I remember this happened one night. One night, this is a couple months after this had happened, I'm going to call. I see this one car multiple times throughout the night. The same car. It was like a gray Pontiac Grand Am. And like I'm going to a call, and this car like does something. And I'm like, boy, this fucker's lucky I got to go to a 911 call or I'd totally stop this asshole. Like, what's this guy doing? And then I saw him again a couple hours later. He threw trash out the window. And I was going to another call, and I saw him for the third time in the same night doing something crazy, and I finally stopped him. I was like, dude, did you not see the police car? I was like, I've seen you twice tonight. You're lucky that blah, blah. And it was a Latino guy, and he tried to bribe me.
He did.
And fortunately for me, in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, I know I did that once, but I ain't doing this shit again. Fortunately for me, I was like, no, that's not how this works, blah, blah, blah. I wrote him a real ticket and went on with his day. Later, when the investigation was concluded, they revealed that was a GBI officer who was trying to bait me.
It was.
And he was had body cams, and they were trying to get me to do it again on camera. And like at the time, I was like, what an idiot. What is this guy doing? Yeah. And then I was like, oh, that's what that guy was doing. I was a GBI officer undercover trying to bait me, see if they'd get me to do it again.
So what point do you find out you're actually under arrest and now going to prison, jail? Where are we headed?
I remember it so vividly. It was January 4th, 2005. I'm sitting, I'm working day watch, or what do we call it?
So you're still working
I'm still
the
working.
Police department. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on.
You're not on suspension or leave or any of that
No,
shit.
Because this, then, you know.
Because they want to catch you.
Yes.
Gotcha.
When that happened, I was working morning watch. I was working overnights. Now I'm working afternoon watch. Is that what we call morning watch, afternoon, day watch? Anyway, I work 2:30 to p.m. to 10:30 p.m. So it's about 4 p.m., January 4th, 2005. I'm sitting there in a parking lot of a strip mall eating Chinese food. Just eating Chinese food in the car. And every officer has a radio number. For example, I was 3113, 3 meaning the third precinct, 1 meaning the first shift, and 13 meaning the beat I work. So 31, anytime they said 3113, that was me. 3113, go ahead. And we had uniformed patrol officers, we had sergeants, lieutenants, and a commander. The commander was in charge of the whole precinct. He was the highest ranking officer at this precinct. Mm-hmm. Above him, you only had deputy, chief, and chief. So this guy was a big wig. I forgot his name, but the commanders and the lieutenants would never get on the radio. You never heard them on the radio. It was always sergeants talking to the officers, officers talking to the 911 dispatch. And his number was 3101. Whenever someone was an 01, that was a commander. That was, oh shit. And we had a regular channel on the radio that everybody could hear. If you had a police scanner, a civilian could sit there and listen to it. And then we had a private channel, and that's on regular channel. I might go 3113, switch to private, and then you switch to private. And now we have a private conversation. Our other officers can hear it, but civilians can't.
Got
police
it.
Scanner people can't hear it. 3101 to 3113, go to
Whoa,
private.
You got an 01 to a 13, go to private. You're having Chinese food in the parking lot.
Yeah. And of course, everybody else is like, 3113's on private. 3113, I forgot what the code was. Some code to meet back at precinct. I forgot whatever signal or code that was, but 3113, 10-4. 10-minute drive.
And do you know what's up?
I assumed it had something to do with
you
that.
Do.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Well, because I had a clear conscience other than that. Mm-hmm. And like I said, even the suspensions, like I didn't feel guilty about wrecking a car.
Right.
I didn't feel guilty about breaking that guy's wrist.
Right.
Like I'm out here trying to fucking do my job and not get killed.
Right.
So the only guilty conscience I had, the only thing I knew, it's I was like, oh, fuck, it must be that. And I walk into the precinct and in the commander's office is the commander, lieutenant, two sergeants, and two detectives from internal affairs.
Damn.
And you know about internal affairs. That's a cop that investigates other mm-hmm. cops. So, and I was just like, fuck. And they're like, come in and close the door. I was like, how y'all doing? And like, go ahead and take your gun off. They immediately asked for my gun, gave them my gun. And then they were like, I forgot how they, I mean, it was all just a blur. I forgot how they eased into the conversation.
Are you sitting down or are you standing?
I'm standing, just shaking. And then they were like, you know, we got a complaint from so-and-so, so-and-so. And they're like, is that you? I was like, yep. And they were like, all right, go with these two.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Detectives and the two internal affairs guys, I rode with them in their car. They didn't handcuff me then, but I went to internal affairs in like 5 hours of just that classic, you know, 48 hours.
Because they're trying to find out if you're this serial offender and you're targeting Latinos who don't speak English and may be here illegally.
Yeah. And they were convinced. And they were convinced that A, I was doing that serially, and B, I was.
With no proof of it.
Yeah, with no proof of it. Yeah, I guarantee you that's the only complaint I got because honestly, that's the only time I ever did it. But they thought I was doing it habitually and they thought I was working with other cops. And I remember one time they kept saying, just give us a name and we'll take it easy on you. And I remember saying this vividly. And police world's weird in that like—
Do you not get to ask for an attorney right then and there and not answer their questions?
Yeah, I could have, but I was like, I know where this is headed. I knew I was guilty. Mm-hmm. So I was like, fuck it. Whatever's going to be. And in a part of me was relieved because I fucking hated the job. Mm-hmm. But police world is weird because let's say you're my partner. Even if we don't get along, I don't like you, you don't like me. At the end of the day, there's a mutual respect and camaraderie because we have each other's lives in our hands, mm-hmm. right? And I had a couple of good friends there, but there was just a lot of guys I just didn't get along with because they were just stereotypical dickhead cops. That's one thing that I get so frustrated with police. Police are granted an incredible amount of discretion, meaning, you know, they've given me the power and the discretion to go to these calls and make a decision. And my point is, there's a lot of cops out there, including ones I worked with. If legally I can arrest you, I'm going to, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Right.
Where I, not to pat myself on the back, but I try to use a little common sense and discretion. For example, you go to a domestic dispute, you know, and she says he did this and he says he didn't and there's kids and you learn the story that he's working and she's out of work. And now if she's sitting there with a black eye and a busted nose, sorry, buddy. You're going to jail. But if there's no evidence, my point is arresting this guy tonight, is that the best thing for this family? If he goes to jail and is out of work, they got three kids. Now, like I said, there's some crimes. Well, sorry, buddy, you're going to jail. But like the iffy stuff, man, tonight's your lucky night. don't maybe come back here. But my point is, there's so many cops I worked with. It's like, nope, 10-15 was the code for arrest. 10-15, 10-15, 10-15, regardless of any discretion. I don't know where it's going with that part. Oh, yeah. They said they were convinced that I was that I had partners. And I remember them saying, just give us a name. And I said, look, if there was a name I could give you, I would do it. Because I'm not loyal to any of these dickheads. I was like, if I could give you a name and make my sentence lighter, of course I'd do it. But I'm telling you, for the 10th time, it was a one-time thing and nobody else was involved. They were just so convinced that I was part of a ring of cops doing this. And they said they were going to make an example of me. Like, you've shamed the department. You've shamed your community. The district attorney is going to make an example out of you. There's no plea bargains available. This is going to trial. You will get convicted and you will go to prison for 3 to 5 years.
Fuck! How do you feel hearing that? Are you just fucking like, I need to sit down?
I mean, that was, and this for 6 months, from the time they told me that to the time it was all done, it was about 6 or 7 months. For 6 or 7 months, I was like, I'm going to prison in July.
So wait, you're allowed to go home?
Yeah. They let me go that night. I
wasn't under arrest. Okay. Yeah.
They let me go that night. I wasn't even charged. They were like, you're probably going to be charged in a week or two. You are, as of this moment, fired. You're free to go. But once we get all our paperwork and ducks in a row, we will file
we're
charges.
Coming for yeah. You.
And sure enough, about two. And in between, I did go get an attorney. And about 2 weeks later, the attorney called and said, all right, they've officially filed charges. You need to go turn yourself in. And so, that was a rough day. My mom and my girlfriend drove me down
to
Cobb County Correctional Facility. And I was in.
You cry?
No. I felt like it. Yeah. But I was there for about 4 or 5 hours.
Where?
In jail. Not prison, but jail.
Like a cell?
Yeah, just a cell.
By yourself?
No, with about 10 other dudes. And even then, immediately, I was like, boy, I hope they don't find out I'm a cop. Just in jail. Now, prison's a whole nother story. But yeah, I was just in jail for like 5 hours. My girlfriend and mom bonded me out. I forgot what my bond was, but they went to a bail bondsman. You know that whole routine. Yeah, pay 10%.
Friends that are bail bondsmen. Yeah. So then you're out, and then you're out now until your court date?
Yeah.
Which, how much time was that for you?
There was a couple of different like arraignments. I think I went back to court 2 or 3 times over the next 6 or 7 months. But the whole time I'm here.
You can't work?
No.
Can't
well, I immediately started a landscaping business.
Okay.
So actually, the day I was unemployed for 1 day. After that first day, I went home the next day. It was just, you know, telling my girlfriend, telling my parents, everything. And then the very next day, I went down to the unemployment office and I was standing in line because, you know, I had rent. I had, you know, and I was standing in line. I was just like, oh, fuck this. You know, I'm not. And I got a job the next day driving a limo. I drove limos for like 3 months.
I remember when that was a job.
Yeah. And we had one of our clients was a hip hop label. So I drove around Little John. I drove Ludacris. I drove all these rappers. And I just remember thinking like a week ago, I was a cop. Now I'm driving a limo and there's Ludacris in the back. So I did that for a few months while I got my landscaping business off the ground. And, you know, this was, like I said, this happened in January. So, you know, in Georgia, there's no landscaping to be done in the winter. But so I bought some equipment, took out a loan from my dad, bought a trailer and some equipment. And I had this nice little landscaping business going. And funny, people who know this band will appreciate this. But the guys I were working with, Stuck Mojo and Fozzy, the main guy, Jericho's the singer, but the founder of both those bands is a guitar god named Rich Ward. And I was a huge fan all through high school, whatever. So this was before cop stuff. I was working for them. But I had kind of kept in touch with Rich and just ran into him like at Blockbuster Video right after all this happened. And he had been touring a lot, but he had taken a big break. And he's like, oh, you're doing landscaping? He's like, you need any help? I was like, what? He's like, do you need any part-time help? I was like, yeah, but Rich Ward, you want to come edge sidewalks with me? But anyway, so Rich was my assistant for a few months. And my point is, those 6 or 7 months between the arrest and the trial, like I said, every week, my attorney is like, prepare to go to prison for 3 years. And I was like, okay.
So you're out there on a ride.
Yeah. So I had already, Rich had agreed to take, I was going to keep the business. I was going to turn the business over to Rich. And then I was going to have him give, we cut a deal like, hey, you can take over this business, but let's take 25% of revenue and give it to my fiance while I'm in prison for 3 years. And so, yeah. And just, that was such a surreal spring. Because I'm just riding around, cutting lawns, and you know, thinking about going to prison. And oh, by the way, my metal hero is my
Ozzy Osbourne's over here, I mean, weed
like,
whack.
To people who know, like he's his picture was on Guitar Center. And, I mean, this guy's like a guitar god. And I'm like, hey, Rich, when you're done with the front, can you go weed eat the back? And he's like, sure thing, Dave. But Rich was going to take over my business and give some of the revenue to my fiance.
That's nice.
For 3 years while I was in prison.
That's nice. All right. So then what happens? You're preparing every day. Your anxiety's got to be through the roof. I'm going to prison. What must that be like? And
if I thought
I'm a cop. And I'm a cop going to prison.
If I thought I was going to white collar prison, that would have been, you know, troublesome of like, oh, what have I done to my life?
Yeah.
I'm going to prison, not as a cop, but as a dirty cop. A
dirty cop.
Oh, fuck.
In Gen Pop. Fuck that.
What's
dude.
Up, white boy? What's up, cop?
Remember me, motherfucker? Nope.
Theoretically, could be in prison with people I put
That's
there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
not
yeah.
in a different state. The same, right same there. State, same area. Going to prison for 3 years as a dirty cop. And I was like, well, I'm either going to get murdered or raped, or I'm going to have to murder somebody from not getting raped. Mm-hmm. So probably going to be a lot more than 3 years. And it was a horrible, horrible spring just thinking about that every day. And again, nobody's fault but my own. This isn't a woe is me. Nobody fucking made me take that. But I'm telling you sincerely, it was not a scam to you know, abuse vulnerable immigrants. I was just like, it was a split second of poor judgment and rebellion. I was like, fuck y'all. Sure, I'll take your fucking $50. And yeah. So, like I said, the whole time, that whole spring was just like, and my attorney was like, there's no way around it, man. They're pissed.
You're just, like, come on, man. I just got a new snapper ride.
Here's the other thing. I was on the news. I was all over the news.
Oh, shit. So your face is out there.
In the area that I grew up in.
Where you're cutting grass.
People I went to high school
with. Do
people
recognize you? Like, from leaning out, like, this guy's cutting my motherfucking grass right now.
That I don't know. But I know a lot of people I grew up with were like, oh, shit, that's Dave Stone. For about 2 weeks, it was on the local news every night.
Every night. What are they saying? What's the portrayal on the news? Is it the whole dirty cops taking advantage of immigrants?
Yep.
So they are putting that narrative publicly.
Yes, and they set up a hotline. If you think you or someone you know is a victim of Officer Stone, call this number.
How many people are calling
that
number?
Not a goddamn one. I asked them after the fact. I said, how many fucking calls did y'all get? How many calls did you get?
And they tell you?
Mm-hmm. I was like, see, fucking told you. But yeah, they set up a hotline. Let's, hey, this is
and
a
had
huge
you trailed
problem.
And all that mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah. And my point is, by some miracle, like the 23rd hour, what's the phrase? Is it the 23rd, 25th hour? Right before, like a day or two before the trial, my attorney calls me. He's like, I don't know what happened, but they're swamped. They got an overloaded caseload. They want to do a plea bargain. If you plead guilty to this, you'll stay out of prison. You'll do 5 years of probation. And I was like, all right. And I pled guilty. And
what if you didn't?
Then it would have went to trial. And if I
would
have gotten
convicted. Would they have had to admit, though, that they had no calls on the hotline and all this
stuff?
Yeah,
but I'm not being charged for that. Like, the thing I'm being charged with.
Is the thing you actually did.
Yeah. And I admitted to it, you know, off the record.
That's
in their
the thing
office.
You said it.
Yeah. And, you know, looking back, I'm like, you know, should I have not? But I was just like karmically and cosmically, I was like, well, I've already done the bad deed. Let me at least try to just be honest from here on out, and whatever I get, I deserve.
All right. So you take the plea bargain. Mm-hmm. You're guilty. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for you in the state of Georgia? And as far as, are you a convicted felon the rest of your life? Can you vote? Can you carry a firearm? What happened?
At the time, I was a convicted felon. Even though I pled guilty, it's still a conviction. Mm-hmm. And 5 years probation, once a month, just had to go and, you know, meet with the probation officer.
And do what, piss test and all that
no,
stuff?
No, they didn't. They didn't piss test me because it wasn't drug or alcohol related.
Got it.
The main stipulation, like the biggest.
Yeah, what's your test?
My stipulation is I'm not allowed to work in law enforcement during the probation period.
Okay.
So every month I'd go, really the only question he would ask me, well, he'd ask me, have I been arrested for anything petty or otherwise this month? And am I working as a law enforcement officer? And I was like, no.
Just landscaping.
Yeah, just landscaping. And I started doing comedy right after that. Okay. That's a whole other story. But I'd wanted to start comedy when I was 19 and just never had the nerve. I used to go to open mics. I'd write jokes, go to open mics, sign my name. Three or four times I went and they call my name and I just didn't have the nerve. I was just in the back of the room, silent. And then after all that, I was like, fuck it. I'm doing comedy. So
you can't work law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Can you vote?
No, couldn't vote, couldn't carry a firearm.
But that's just for the probation period?
Well, technically, yes, because an average felon in most states, it's for life.
For life, yeah.
But I got first offender status because I had a clean record up until then. I got some first offender status program where, what's the term? After probation, it's supposed to be expunged, like disappear from my record.
And which has it?
Which it did not, because years later, I applied to get an apartment. And one of the questions was, have you ever been convicted of a crime? And I put no. And then like they were like, hey, we got a hit here that says you did. Why are you lying to us? Like, well, to be honest with you, I'm not lying purposefully, but I was told that it disappears from my record, and I didn't have to admit that after the 5 years. And they're like, well, it showed up on our search.
So how do you get that clear?
I don't know. I'm still working on that.
And are you really?
And I tried to buy ammo at Walmart a few years ago. This was, you know, 18 years after the fact, and something popped, something flagged, and they wouldn't sell it to me. So I got to get all that straightened out through the state of Georgia. But yeah, it was supposed to disappear from my record after probation, but I don't give a shit about any of that, really.
I mean, I hear you,
but I am allowed to vote for some reason. I have been voting, but the firearms thing.
They're looking at that and being like, bro, that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about, so here's the thing that sucks for you, I think, is that you take the plea bargain, right? Well, I understand why, but you have to admit guilt. Mm-hmm. So then all that bullshit on the news, that narrative looks true. Mm-hmm. Because this dirty cop just said he did do it.
Because it was true. Yeah, I did do that.
But not what they were saying about this whole ring of police.
Exactly.
Or you were like the leader of this group that was fucking taking advantage. Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Facing 3 to 5 as a cop in the same spot where you fucking put people. Fuck that.
Yeah, man. Big time. Big time, fuck that.
All right, I want to shift gears because I want to talk about this other story real fast about some trouble you have with a fire, I guess.
God damn. All right, long story short, my dad passed away in June of 18 and real unexpectedly. And of course, that sucked. And I just started dating my now wife. We were on again, off again a lot before that, but we just kind of cleaned everything up and started really settling down together. And my dad passes away and had to cancel dates. I was in Cincinnati about to go bananas and I got the phone call. I had to cancel that. And her dad owned a nice little cabin up in Lake Arrowhead, California. And my girlfriend at the time, she was like, listen, just go up there for like a week. You know, just mourn, grieve, you know, do whatever you got to do. It's, you know, right there on the lake. It's beautiful. And she had to stay back in LA and do some work. But I was up there for about 5 or 6 days by myself. And it coincided with my birthday. The second to last day I was up there, it was my birthday. So she shows up with a barbecue smoker, a nice Brinkman trash can smoker. I'm a big barbecue guy. And so I was like, oh, cool. And I remember I invited Billy Wayne Davis, a good buddy. He came up and hang out and we had some birthday pulled pork. I smoked a pork roast and I'd done this hundreds of times. And the way I usually do it is, you know, you smoke whatever you're smoking. And then especially if your thing's sitting on concrete or something non-flammable, I just leave the coals in the smoker. And over time, over a few hours, they burn themselves out. No harm, no foul. Rather than, you know, eventually you got to scoop that shit out and dispose of it because you get too much of it. But this was a new smoker. You know, there was no old ashes in there. So I spent like 14 hours smoking this pork roast, pork shoulder. And, you know, we ate it and had a good time. And then late that night, I was like, oh, I'm just going to leave the thing there. And we left the next morning. And so then the irony is I remember it was a Sunday morning. We spent like 2 hours. I was up there for like a week. So, you know, it had been well used. But we spent about 2 hours cleaning the cabin. Leave it like you found it. You know, Dad was nice enough to let me use it.
Yeah.
You know, clean the kitchen, clean the porch, blah, blah, blah. And I left the smoker on the back porch and I left the coals in it, the ashes in it. And I had done the math. Like I had stopped smoking it at about 8 o'clock p.m. the night before. And we left at noon the next day. So we're going on 16 hours that these coals have been sitting in this smoker. And I even touched the coals and stuck my hand in there and stuff to make, and it was cool to the touch. 16 hours they've been sitting there. We drive the 2 hours back to LA. We're literally pulling into our apartment and she gets a phone call from the neighbor. And she's like, "What? It's on fire." By the time we had left, 2 hours later, it had disappeared. It was on the news. There's a lot.
You're back on the news again?
Back on the news. Like, they didn't. I wasn't on the news.
Could you imagine?
But it was on some.
They're like, "This dirty cop burned his house."
Yeah. Burned it to the ground.
Are you sure it's the coals, though?
Great question, Ryan. I don't think it was the coals, but the Riverside County fire investigator said, "Oh, it was the smoker. Smoker must have done it."
Must have.
This is August.
I want to go home.
This is August in the mountains of California.
Are we sure it's not a coincidental electric fire? Are we sure somebody didn't do something?
Exactly. But
cool to the touch and be able to put your hand in there. There's nothing that should be able to pop out of that.
Yep. And her dad could not have been cooler. Yeah.
Really? He's like, "I hated this fucking place.
For insurance." And I was like, "Do you understand what I'm telling you? Like, this is about the worst phone call he could get, other than like, 'Hey, your daughter fell off a boat.'"
Yeah, what? And he's chill with it.
Couldn't have been cooler. Insurance rebuilt, bigger, flipped it, sold it.
Boom.
I think I inadvertently did him a favor.
I was about to say, you made him some money.
Something was up. He has since passed. But something was up because he was too chill.
Yeah, like, "Man, we got to fire." I wonder if he didn't do it.
And at the end of the conversation, he goes, "Well, I got one question." I was like, "What's that, sir?" "How was the barbecue?" It's pretty good, sir. I don't know if it's worth all the trouble. But, that was a good time.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great way to end the episode right there, brother. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Before we end this officially, it's your first time here. I'm going to ask you now advice you would give to your 16-year-old self.
Don't become a cop. And watch your carbs.
That's great
Find
advice.
Another line of work, dickhead.
That's great advice. Plug and promote everything again, please.
Pack a Lunch now on YouTube. It's my first actual proper special. Audio version you can find digitally. There might still be some vinyl left at blondemedicine.com. And Boogie Monster when do we release that? Every Tuesday with me and Kyle Kinane. Stoneberg's every Wednesday with me and my wife, Katie Strandberg Stone. So, yeah.
All right.
Come see me on tour, dumbdavestone.com.
Thank you. And guys out there, support the special. Go watch it. Come see me on tour. Tickets are available at ryansickler.com. Thank you as always. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.